Hey, Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live around the world tonight on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. We're glad to have you in here, and we hope and trust that our message tonight would be a blessing to you, and Yahweh is going to send you a very important message tonight. If you can believe it, praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is in the birthright. And the birthright blessing belongs to the appointed one. Now, the appointed one is the one that Yahweh chose, not what man chose, not what the enemy has given us, but what Yahweh has given us. Now, that which has been given to us by the enemy is highly esteemed. That which Yahweh has given us is lowly received. In other words, it's things that are now designed through the revelation of the Spirit, not the carnal mind. You see, the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, and neither can be. And it's amazing how Yahweh has turned the truth of his message into the spirit mind, and how Satan has turned his message into the carnal mind. Now, the carnal-minded people, they accept the message of Satan. And the spirit-minded people, and the Bible said the Spirit searches the deep things. And if you don't spend some time in the deep things of Yahweh, you're never going to get this message. This message is designed especially for a spirit mind. And I hope and trust tonight that this message that we're going to get into, ladies and gentlemen, it is an awesome message. I do believe that the message I'm going to deliver to you tonight is the most important message in the Bible. To give you an understanding. Now, the Bible says you've got to know the truth. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that Yahweh is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to deal with it tonight. The most important question of the ages: was the bloodline of Jesse, the father of David, from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Joseph? Now, that's a question I'm going to deal with tonight. In genealogy, we're going to go into the Bible, and we're going to give you, it may be a surprise. Very few people know the true genealogy, simply because the Bible is not written to where that you could take the genealogy and prove anything significant because of the major alterations that the scribes did upon the scriptures. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, God wouldn't let them change one word of the Bible. He warned us that they could do it. He told us in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation that they that dared to add to the word, then the plagues that is written in the book will be added to them. Now, they don't care about tomorrow. It's today, the present. See, the God of this world is the God of the present. The God of the world to come, the kingdom to come, is the kingdom of the future. And so then, they live in the now. They basically rule from the throne of Satan, who give them the kingdom now. There's coming a time when that kingdom will be rent out of their hands, when the true revelation will come. And I gave you the scripture there in the book of Genesis 49, verse 10, it says that when the Messiah comes, the scepter will depart from Judah. Now, why would it say that? Unless Judah, un- unlawfully have that sucker. And we're going to prove to you tonight he did unlawfully have it. And the way he got it is described in the Bible as he took it by force. But let me go to something that would give you an understanding, and I think it might help you to understand a little bit about the genealogy we're going to discuss tonight. You just get your Bible, you get your pens and your paper, you take notes, and you'll see, ladies and gentlemen, that the firstborn sons of Reuben, now this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Now, did you get that? Why would that prophet that wrote this book here, reportedly Moses, why would he have ever said that the birthright, the genealogy, is not to be reckoned after the birthright? He knew the scribes would be changing the genealogy. And I'm going to preach in it tonight, for they did change it and deliberately change it. And and you say, well, why would they do something like that? So that they could get the preeminence. So that they could be worshipped in the world, because Satan loves worship. That's what the whole deal was to start with, ladies and gentlemen. He wanted to be worshipped as the Most High. And the only way he could get it done is to tell you a lie and let you believe it. You can believe a lie and be damned. There's more people in the world. I don't care whether you're Christian, agnostic, I don't care whether you're Muslim, or whether you're Jewish, or whatever you are, or you are a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, you're subject to be deceived if you don't have the spirit mind and search the deep things of Yahweh. And right here it says the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Well, everywhere in the Bible, that's why it says in the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews that Christ would come out of a tribe that nothing was wrote about to any significance. I just got an email from Chris here, and he says that he can hear a background, somebody talking in the background here, and I don't know where it's coming in. It's coming in over, where it's coming in through the station, or it's coming in over, somebody's riding in over the internet. I really don't know, but I don't really like that. It sort of disturbs me. Well, here we are now, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to go on. We can talk over it. I hope you can hear me over it. If you can't hear me over it, you'd let me know, and I'll turn up the volume. Praise Yahweh. And let me give you a little bit more. For Judah, listen to this now, verse 2. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. And of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. Now, why would he prevail? He don't have no birthright. Why would he be doing with a scepter when the birthright and the scepter are synonymous? One goes with the other. He stole it. When they kicked Joseph out of the family, he took over. He prevailed. He was the big daddy. And if you ever read the book of Jasher, you'll find out that Judah was a specimen not to be messed with. Everybody was afraid of him. He was physically intimidating. And that's what this word here, and Judah intimidated his brethren. That's what that means. He prevailed over them, and there's no scripture in the Bible that he had the birthright. Are you with me tonight? Praise Yahweh. Now, we'd give anybody $5,000 tonight to prove that Judah had the birthright. And if he don't have the birthright, the Messiah can't come from his bloodline. Because the Messiah came from the royal bloodline, and that is out of the house of Joseph. he prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph. Now, who was this chief ruler that came from Joseph's or Judah's bloodline? Well, it was the high priest. The high priest that encountered the Messiah, that slapped him and smote him and things of this nature, and had the power to condemn him or the power to kill him or to release him. Of course, he wasn't going to release him because he was of the devil. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. Well, ladies and gentlemen, praise Yahweh. Now, here we are. Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. A birthright was Joseph's. And Judah has got the preeminence by producing the kings that would rule upon the throne. That means that they thought they had a right to rule the throne, because Israel was deported. They didn't have any kings down there to rule. After that Yahweh sent the 10 tribes, and out of the 10 tribes was the house of Joseph. It was popped up and moved on. It went somewhere else. It crossed the Caucasus Mountains, if you know any history about the Bible. And so then we're offering a $5,000 reward for anybody can prove that Judah had a birthright. He didn't have one. You know where he forfeited his birthright? And I showed you exactly where last night's message, he forfeited his birthright in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, when he had his firstborn heir, Onan, and Shelah. And Shelah is the only one who survived, went down to Egypt, I proved that to you, and came out with a large contingent of mixed mongrels. Norki is what the Bible calls them. Norki came out with Norkis, the strange fornicated flesh. These are the sons of Judah and Simeon that were marrying into the unholy grail, the unholy blood. And they put the holy blood, listen to me now, they put the holy blood offering as the high priest of the particular tribes. They placed the blood offering of their sperm into the womb, the receptacle, of which is represented as the altar. As they lay with these Canaanite women, they had children, and they multiplied along with the true house bloodline of Israel. And so the Holy Grail was holy in part because a seed of discrepancy. Here's what Yahweh was talking about in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, when he gave 4 illustrations and parables and compared the wheat, the tares, the good seed and the bad seed, the deep root, the stony ground, and things of this nature, as showing you that he that sowed the tare was the devil. And the devil's children are acting on Satan's behalf, because that's what he got them for, to exalt his seed, or to exalt his throne, or to garner the worship. And right here, Judah, after Reuben defiled his father's bed, that's son number one. Son number two was named Simeon. And we find in the 10th verse of the 46th chapter here that he had a Canaanite affection. However, you notice that he was not the firstborn. So Simeon was not excluded, because his firstborn was from the righteous blood of an Israelite woman. His last blood, he did marry a Canaanite later and then had a son by, but that son wouldn't inherit the symbol of the high priest, which would have been Simeon, because Simeon got a first seed. Now, in Judah's case, he got a bad seed right up front, and his name was Shelah. He was destined to have the birthright. And who's to tell me that he didn't get it out of the clan of Judah? You say that, Pharaoh and Zarah got it. That's what the Pharisees make you believe, because they didn't want you to know that their father in our series here, but tonight we're going to deal with the genealogy of the true bloodline versus the unholy bloodline of Satan and how that they warred. Here it is, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn. Now, he defiled his father's couch. That was a sexual encounter with one of Jacob's wives. Now, that disqualified him, and along came Simeon, and he was disqualified for the very same reason I told you so. And along came Levi, the third son, Levi, and he didn't have any inheritance, so he couldn't inherit. He didn't have any land, so the sons could inherit. And if you want to go to the inheriting sons, where Joshua was the one that partitioned the land and quartered it, and placed the different tribes in specific areas, and an Israelite of the northern tribes could not go down in the south and take their territory. He had to have a genealogy record to prove that he was able to inherit in his own father's land, be it, let's say Benjamin, let's say Ephraim, let's say Manasseh. Let's go to Reuben, the house of Reuben. See, every son had to abide in his father's territory. His land was only given in to the tribes, and every 50 years it reverted back to Yahweh, and then Yahweh would start again a genealogy check. And the oldest firstborn son would be in line to receive that property. Are you with me? My heavens above, praise Yahweh. Now, let's go over here to. Let me give you a little discourse here to set up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Now, let's get into the scriptures and trace the bloodline. 1 Samuel 17:12 proves that David was the son of Jesse. Now, I told you the most important question here. We know that Jesse was in the downline of Christ, or the genealogy. Now, remember, the birthright is not to be reckoned after genealogy, simply because of the deception of the scribes. And I'll read this to you just in a minute about the scribes and what the Messiah said in the New Testament about them. Now, Jesse was a descendant of, if you look at the genealogy of Jesse, that would go back to Boaz and Ruth. So then, we got Boaz and Ruth. Now, was Boaz a Judite? No, he was not. Well, was Ruth's husband that died, was he a Judite? Was he from the house of Judah? No, he was not. I'll give anybody $5,000 to prove that Ruth's husband was from the house of Judah. Now, if Ruth is in the downline of the bloodline of the kinsman redeemer, do you understand where I'm going here? This is why the people dare not to question Pastor Buddy, because I've done my homework. I have solved the mystery of the genealogy. And I found that there's a fly in the ointment. It is the lion pen of the scribes who have wrote in, out of sequence here, in the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth, they enter Boaz and Zara. Because in the bloodline, in the genealogy, they skip, I'll prove it to you, they skip and put in Judah and Tamar. Now, bless God, that ain't fair. He don't deserve to be in the bloodline of an Ephraimite. But they expertly put it in there, and everybody that's not done their homework wouldn't know the difference. They just read her. Well, it said, here, Christ is now, Christ is coming through, let's see, who's Christ coming through? Oh, here it is. He's coming through Zara and Perez, the sons of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is out of sequence, and it's certainly out of the genealogy, and that's why that he warns you there, the prophet warns you there, that you better not reckon the birthright after the genealogy. Because they knew that they would be preachers like me one of these days, figure this deal out, and your doctrine wouldn't hold water. You got a broken cistern of the whole no water here, ladies and gentlemen, with the scriptures as it is given in context to the message that the Bible is talking to you about the genealogy. Here it is. I'm going to give you the Strong's number. You do your own research on this. 1 Samuel 17:12, David was the son of a Nephrathite, Jesse. It is Strong's number 0672 in the Hebrew. Okay? Now, let's give the definition of what 0672 is. That word is Strong's number 0672, an Ephraimite. Number one, Ephraimite equals ashiness or fruitfulness. An inhabited or descendant of Judah. Oh my, I have heard here, haven't I? That's how people believe it. But I mean, what it says here in the Strong's number, it says an inhabited or descendant. An Ephraimite is a descendant not of Judah, but of Ephraim, Strong's number 672, 673. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of the Messiah, here says Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, was he the son of David? Well, he said he wasn't in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. Well, why does it say then that he's the son of David? Well, now, actuality, David is the son of the Messiah. The Messiah was before David, before Abraham. So he had to be before David. The Messiah existed before. So he was not only the offspring. This is talking about the divinity. That's why Christ said, oh, how is it that David called me Lord? Or why did he call me God? Is what he's saying. Why would David call me God? And that's exactly what he called him, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. Go in there and read it. It's right there. Many, many scriptures he called him Yahweh. He was talking about his divinity here, and that's why he said, I am the root of David. In other words, I'm the progenitor. Yahweh's bloodline himself in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, will tell you that Isaac was the son of Yahweh. And from that generation, David was born. Ruth was in the bloodline. And so was Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And all of them were Ephraimites. Glory to Yahweh. Checkmate. Locking it down here. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. Taking the scriptures of truth. Now, let's go to Isaiah 11:1. A little bit more on the generation of the descendants of the house of Jesse. And David was a son of Jesse. All right? Now, if Jesse was an Ephraimite, what would that make David? A Jew? I wouldn't think so. You say, buddy, you're just trying to throw a monkey wrench in the belief system, and the belief system is now too powerful, and you'll never convince nobody that you're right. I don't give a damn about convincing people if I'm right. But I guarantee you there is the word that you will bow to because the books are going to be open, and then you'll give a damn. If you have been led down the primrose path of error by the lying, crafty pen of the scribes. The book of the generation of David. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Listen to this now. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who was that? Who is that stem? He was talking about the Messianic bloodline, the Messianic bloodline. Thou shalt come forth a rod out of the stem. This is prophetic. This is the Messiah. Thou shalt come forth the Messiah out of the very stem. You know what the stem represents. Out of the root. It says it right here. Right out of the rod and out of the stem of Jesse. Well, what have I been talking about for the last 6 or 7 hours? Of how that the holy rod or stem was a holy object, as the high priest and those who are in line to carry the birthright were only authorized to put that rod in the correct place. It could not, it would not be accepted if they went and lay with a Canaanite woman, just like Judah did in Genesis 38. Come on, if you've got any book. Bring it on. Let's have it. Let's look at the truth here. It's time that the church people quit sitting in the pews half asleep, listen to the tradition, singing jingle bells, and waiting for some kind of a present that they can get. And they can buy someone something cheaper so they can get a better one. That's all Christmas is all about anyway. Well, I'll do you one better. You get me something, I'm going to get you something better. And then next year, you get me something better, and then I'll get you something better. And it's a relentless merchandising of the Messiah and his truth. And all of these things that I'm talking about, this would go over like a lead balloon on a Christmas Day message, wouldn't it? It came upon a midnight clear. Or how they sing these little songs around the manger at the 25th of December, and says, he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Ladies and gentlemen, he was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. He was not a Jew, as most people would think. He was an Ephraimite right out of the house of Joseph, and he is the branch that would come and go out of his roots, and therefore David said unto Yahweh, you are my God. Man, I can hear the radio playing somewhere. Praise Yahweh. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. The devil don't like this message. I'm telling you. I mean, he'll do anything to disrupt this message. He's the God of the power of the air. Listen to this one here. Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Mary's womb could not open to Satan because Yahweh had took the key of David and shut it. Now, she was a descendant of David. We know that Joseph was a descendant of David, but there was a problem with Joseph when we talk about the genealogy. If you asked about Joseph's genealogy, let's take a look at it. Matthew and Luke showed that Joseph was a legal parent, but not a genetic parent to the Messiah. The Messiah was miraculously conceived in Mary through the Holy Spirit by virtue of being Mary's husband. Joseph was considered the father of the Messiah, as it was supposed, according to Luke. Since the Messiah was born into Joseph's family, he was a legal heir through Joseph, and the Messiah obtained a rightful claim to the throne of David. Well, that's not true, ladies and gentlemen, because we know that the curse of Joseph's offspring, let me show you what it was. There's a curse that is talked about in Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 1 through 32, and it will give you insight into the virgin birth of the Messiah. Jehoiakim was a king of Israel. He angered God by burning a scroll that Jeremiah the prophet wrote. I mean, see what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen? They disregarded Yahweh's word in those days, and you say, oh, it's the word of God, and God wouldn't. Well, God of his children would sit on the throne of David. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 29. And although Jehoiakim had children, Scripture shows that none of them ever reigned as King David had in the king line. Now remember, David was an Ephraimite, not a Judite. Now we're getting it. And Joseph was a descendant in the line of David according to the Bible. We're going to read it here just for you in a minute. Joseph, the father of the Messiah, as it was supposed, was one of Jehoiakim's descendants through Jeconiah. Joseph's offspring could not claim David's throne because of the curse. And the Messiah laid claim to the throne of David in Luke 1:32 and Acts 2:30 and Hebrews 12:2. That the Messiah had been born of Joseph, the curse would have been contradicted. Therefore, Joseph had nothing to do with the birth. It was a virgin birth. It was the immaculate conception. And as Yahweh had promised David that one of his physical descendants would reign on the throne of his kingdom forever in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, and we know that Joseph was excluded from being the genetic father of the Messiah, the King of Israel. It was impossible to fulfill the requirements of both curse and promise by the natural means. You see what I'm talking about? One man had to be both heir to and the offspring of David. Without being the genetic descendant of Jehoiakim, the problem required a divine solution. Now let me show you what the solution is. Yahweh created a solution through the miracle of the virgin birth. Although Joseph was one of Jehoiakim's offspring through Solomon. There you go. Now you're getting the drift. Did you know that the genealogy of Matthew and the genealogy of Luke differs? That Luke says that the Messiah came through the house of Nathan, not the house of Solomon. And I told you why, that Solomon loved many strange women, had married and corrupted and defiled his blood. Satan moved on him when he was old, and his heart went after strange women. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is a biological nightmare. No wonder it said the birthright is not to be reckoned after the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Yahweh promised David, and it was fulfilled through Nathan, one of David's other sons, and you will read that in Luke 3:31. Look at the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, and then go to Luke 3:31 and see if it ain't the other son, not Solomon, that the Messiah is supposedly coming through. Now, that's a horse of a different color. Oh, yeah. Yahweh's promise to David was fulfilled because Mary was a biological parent associated with the Messiah, just like the Canaanite woman, Shua, Judah's wife, was the biological mother of Judah's son, who was half Israelite and half Canaanite, and the defiled birthright left the house of Judah. Oh, my. Why do I have to preach so hard for him? Why do I have to get so intense? Why couldn't I just wrap Christmas presents and talk about Jesus going to be born on the 25th of December and sing a few Christmas carols? We three kings of glory under. And you know, that's a lie right there. They don't say they was three kings. They said there was three gifts brought, but it didn't say three men brought them. It could have been a half a dozen men. It could have been one man. It could have been two. But we assume that since there was three presents given, that three men present them. But it don't say that. We assume that. But, you know, the word assume, take a good long look at the first three letters. So the miracle of the virgin birth accomplished Yahweh's will in two ways. Now let me show you something. First, it granted the Messiah a legal claim to the throne of David, which he had that legal right. And second, it maintained the integrity of the curse of God, that it would not be broken, that he had pronounced on Jehoiakim. Indeed, the Messiah was not one of Jehoiakim's offspring, because Joseph had nothing to do with the pregnancy. Are you with me now? Now, Matthew's account shows us here that there is something here wrong, because it repeats, it says that now here we got David, we got Obed, we got Boaz, we got Obed, we got Jesse and David. Now, Boaz fathered Obed, which was the father of Jesse, which was the father of David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. Solomon shouldn't be in here. Man, I'm hearing this echo real bad. I don't know who's preaching there, but it sure ain't me. I'm having to compete with another preacher somewhere on the line here. But that's okay, praise Yahweh. Now, we're going to keep on preaching the truth, because, you know, Pastor Buddy can get pretty loud if he has to. 14 generations from Abraham to David, from David to the Babylon captivity, and 14 from to the time of Christ. David's name was repeated because he was alive when the first division ended and when the second division began. That's why David is mentioned twice in here, but it's not true, because what we're looking at is Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and David. Then the downline, where we have the sons, descendants, and Luke says that Christ came through Nathan, not Solomon. Now, you make up your mind. We've got a divided genealogy here, at least. So, well, there must be a discrepancy, because God's word is perfect. Well, which one do you say is perfect? One says that Christ came through the bloodline of Solomon. And I can read that Solomon was tainted, had his bloodline tainted. Everything that he fathered was tainted. He was evil. He even worshipped a goddess. Built temples to all the gods of pagan gods around him. Highly displeased Yahweh. Yahweh would have killed that rascal. If he hadn't sworn to David he'd let him live and sit on the throne till he died, he'd have killed him instantly. Just like he killed Onan and Er. And he would have killed Sheila, the birthright son, not of Christ, but of Judah. And so Judah had a defiled bloodline. Yes, it was rectified through the grace of Yahweh with Tamar and Perez and Zerah. It was rectified, but they were not in line for any birthright, because Sheila was number one. That made him eligible for the genealogy, birthright of the house of Judah, not the birthright of Christ now, because Christ didn't come through Judah. Are you with me now? Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew's account and Joseph's or Luke's account was two different accounts, and we've got to take that into consideration, and that's what we're going to do. Now, let's come back and talk about the genealogy here and continue on with the little time that we've got here. And the Messiah answered and said while he taught in the temple, how do you say, now this is in the 12th chapter of Mark, verse 30, how do you say that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calls me Lord. How then am I his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Now, was he talking about his divinity, or was he talking about his genealogy? He was talking about, in this case, his divinity. He said, look, I am the root of David. Although he didn't deny being the offspring, because he was the son of David through genealogy. Through Nathan, not Solomon, like everybody in the church believes. that he was from the house of Judah. He was not from the house of Judah, neither was Solomon. Neither was David. Neither was Jesse. Neither was Obed. Neither was Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and neither was Elimelech. In Ruth, chapter 1, I'm going there just in a minute here. Now, let's go to this. In his doctrine, and he, now listen to this, and this is right after the verse, chapter 12, and he said unto them in his doctrine, I'm preaching you doctrine tonight. Christ preached doctrine, and he preached the same doctrine I'm preaching. He said, your father's the devil, and what's your father you do? They said, well, we're Jews. He said, yeah. Yeah, I know that. You're from the house of Judah. I know your father's Abraham. But you got a Canaanite mother. Remember Genesis 38? Oh, they said, we're not born of fornication. They knew exactly what he's talking about right there. We're not born of fornication. It doesn't say that, that Christ accused them. But I guarantee you, that what it should have been written in there, and the Bible said the things that should have been written, had have been written, the will itself couldn't contain the books and the mystery, and I could preach for 10,000 years almost, I believe, on this subject. I mean, it's unreal how the devil has raveled the unholy blood and mixed his seed in the holy grail and came out of there with his sons and daughters have been exalted, their throne. The devil is ruling the earth right now, and all of these churches and all of these places of worship are just like the churches of Baal. Beware of the scribes, for these shall receive the greater damnation. Beware of the scribes. What scribes do? They were the one that copied the Bible. Reckon they might have left something out or sort of added something to them. Of course they did, and I've told you where they've done it several times. In this particular instance, the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth, where they try to insert in a Ephraimite bloodline of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. If you go there, you'll find the word, Strong's number, 672, Ephraimite, and that's what Elimelech was, and that's where Boaz was a kinsman redeemer to Elimelech, and to Mahlon and Chilion, who married Ruth, her husband was an Ephraimite. Now she had to keep this to make her the mother through the bloodline, and she's listed in the bloodline, ladies and gentlemen. She had to marry into the Ephraimite bloodline, or the bloodline itself would have been tainted, and then the bloodline of Christ would have indeed been tainted, but it's not. You just believe, you don't understand the genealogy that Dave, that the Bible said that Judah prevailed, but Joseph had the birthright. Now, smell the coffee there. That should tell you something right there, that Christ didn't come through somebody that prevailed. He come through the birthright blood. To be a king, he had to come through the birthright, the chosen Messiah, and out of him shall come the strong-armed, or the mighty hand of the God of Jacob. From him shall come the stone shepherd. Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. What do scribes do? Well, they are in charge of copying and or recopying or adding to or taking from the scrolls. That's what Christ was accusing of. They changed the original text. Beware of them, said Christ. Search the scriptures for what? To see where they have changed the text. Luke 2 and 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. Well, Galilee ain't Judah. Joseph wasn't living down in Bethlehem, Judea. He was out of the city of Nazareth, and he went up out of the city of Nazareth. And if he goes up, he could have went down to Judah, as it says here, and the scribes again have done their work, to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Well, you want to know where that city of Bethlehem was? It was in the city of the birthright region of the territory that Christ came from, Bethlehem Ephratah, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. I rest my case here, ladies and gentlemen. The scribes who said that he would be born in, because Herod, you trust Herod? Well, said in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and Herod, he inquired of the scribes, where is this king going to be born? Now, king has to come through the royal bloodline, that out of the house of Joseph. Joseph was a king. Judah wasn't a king. Judah bowed to Joseph. All the other sons bowed to Joseph. Have you got any spiritual instinct here? Do you know all the mysteries? Would I have to go back and preach the revelation of Joseph to you? I've done preached the revelation of Judah. He had a wicked seed from Cain as his birthright possessor. So the house of Judah would have been ruled by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who loved the chief seeds and came from the seed of Cain, because Christ called them in Genesis, from Genesis, over to the book of John 8:44, when he said, your father's a devil and you were Cain children. And then they were cut to the heart. They knew that he knew what they already know. They know they were children of the devil. Now listen to this. Luke 2:11. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you this day in the city of David. Well, where was David from? He was an Ephraimite. Where would his city be? He was at Bethel. In Galilee. The 7 miles from Nazareth. She didn't ride 100 miles down to Judah. Matter of fact, the archaeologists say that there was not even a Bethlehem, Judea at the time that Christ was born. This is documented proof. They found not one shred of evidence that there was a city called Bethlehem, Judea. It just confirms this doctrine here that I'm teaching. I know they copied. They had the Jews, the Pharisees, they had to get them a city of them. They got to work and they done a little alteration on the word. And made you believe he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, when the prophet Micah said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, Bethlehem, the city of David, in other words, the city where David was from. Well, if you want to know where he was from, why don't you go over to the 11th chapter of the book of John and read the 54th verse, where Christ, who was a descendant of David and the Lord of David, according to the scriptures here, he's both God and man, from the bloodline. He created his own bloodline, ladies and gentlemen, and came out through his own bloodline. He created his mother. He created David. He genealogy produced David. He produced Jesse. He produced Obed. He produced Boaz, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, all of the sons of the book of Ruth. I dare you to get in the book of Ruth and do your homework and get out your Strongs. I dare you to do that. If you do, you're going to be preaching like Pastor Buddy. Now, let me give you a point here before I've got to close. This is in Genesis 35:19. Rachel is going to die, and here's where she's going to die. She didn't die in Bethlehem, Judea, where the Jews tell you, if you go over there today on a Christian tour, you know where they're going to take you to see Rachel's grave? They take you to Bethlehem, Judea. Of course, the Bible takes you to. Don't take you to Bethlehem, Judea. It takes you to another place. All right, let's find out where it's at. Genesis 35:19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah. Now, who was David? He was an Ephratite. She was already in the fruitful land. What does this mean? When she had Joseph and Binyamin from the fruitful land, which is Bethlehem. Right there it is. For unto you this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord, Bethlehem Ephratah. Upon Mount Gerizim, upon the mountain where they built the altar, where Joshua built his altar, where Abraham built the altar, where Jacob built the altar, Moses built the altar. They all built their altar. They worshipped there at the original home place where the angels ascended and descended, and it surely was not down at Bethlehem, Judea. Rachel's grave is not in Bethlehem, Judea, but in Bethlehem, Ephratah. And if you want to know where it's at, go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and you'll find out. Now, after these things, the Messiah walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah, because the Jews, now not the true house of Judah from the Pharazara bloodline, but see, they were silenced. They didn't have any voice. The Pharisees and the Sadducees from the union of Judah and Shua, the Canaanite woman. These are the ones that loved the chief seats, and because they sought to kill him. Listen to what the Patio says in Genesis 49, verses 8 and 9. Jacob says of Judah, "Judah is a lion's whelp. For destroying my sons, you have arisen." That's what the original Patio said. But the King James has changed it. Listen to what he said in Genesis 49:22 in part. Jacob says of Joseph, "Joseph is the fruitful bough. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Among all Bible scholars, we are unaware of even one scholar who doesn't hold the opinion that the shepherd and the stone prophet of Israel is the Hebrew Messiah, Yahweh, Shua, in a flesh body. In the mock trial of Yahweh, Shua, at the time he entered the ministry, upon us, a Pilate had become a governor of Judah. Herod had become the governor of Galilee, Luke 3 and 1. In the trial, Yahweh Shua was brought before Pilate on charges by the Jews, accusing Yahweh Shua of being a Galilean heretic. Luke 23, verse 47. 23, verses 4 through 7. Preaching heresies from Galilee to Judah. And when Pilate heard the word Galilee, he said to the Messiah, "If you're a Galilean..." And Pilate evidently had public records of the tax census searched, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. For the text continues in Luke 23:7, "As soon as he knew," after he had the tax record checked where he was supposed to be from, "he knew that the Messiah belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod sent him to," well, Pilate sent him to Herod, "and thus Pilate knew that the Messiah was a Galilean." I'll rest my case tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in the genealogy, and I've got to close out of here. I've just got a few moments left, but I love you here, praise Yahweh. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary tonight and Brother Paul. Let me give you their telephone numbers real quick. 1-800-253-2748. That's Brother Paul for STEM Tech. Give him a call. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. Dr. Gary, a great man. 1-877-289-7439. They back this message 100% because it's biblical. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a $5,000 reward, and we've had this. Dr. Gary has put this money up years ago. Nobody's ever claimed it, and I wonder why. Because they don't know the scriptures, number one. They've been deceived, and they're misled, and they don't have an understanding. You can write me tonight, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 378. 24. You can call me at, let me see where you can call me. Well, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to give me a call. You can listen to us tonight. The message will be posted by Brother Bob, our webmaster. You can listen to us on www.oneyahweh.com. The message will be posted. We've got a lot of them up there for you. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. And Yahweh keep you until the time appointed. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's coming soon after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. If you love Yahweh tonight, give Yahweh a shout for the truth. And if you want more truth, you can get it here by simply writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's 37824. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. I'll see you on down the line. I'm saying tonight I love you very much, and I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185. It's a transmitting tune of the South. Yahweh bless.